A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book. A romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
Welcome to A Taste of Ireland. I'm Ed Finn, and my special guest this evening is the manager for prestigious restaurant Patrick Guilbeault's, Stefan Robin. Stefan, you are very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, and I'm very, very happy to be here.
Stefan, I know we've been through a very challenging time, I suppose, if I could put it mildly, for people in the restaurant and hospitality business. But tonight, really, I suppose I wanted to talk to yourself about you, your remarkable story here in Ireland. We can talk about the future a little bit later. It's a wonderful story, Stefan. I mean, you came over, I think, for a few months to study English, and you were beguiled, were you, by the Irish charm. I mean, can we just go back to that? I suppose, I know there's a red fiesta involved as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yes. No, it was 1986. I was going to take a holiday for 6 months before a new contract. I got contacted by an agency who said to me, are you sure you want to take a break? Do you want to actually go back to an English-speaking country? And I said, yeah, perhaps, yes, I would love to, because I stayed almost a year in London, where I was working in a place called the Gavroche, that was the Roux Brothers. When I left, I could say mind the step properly, but I think that's all what I could say. So it was very, very small. So I said, yeah, it would be very interesting. So interested. So I came to Dublin in December, and the agency warned me, and they said, you're going to meet a man with a lot of character. And I said, a lot of character? What are you talking about? Well, he's a man of, he will let you know exactly what he thinks, but he's very strong-minded. In fact, he let almost go everybody on the front of his team, so he's waiting for you with impatience. So when can you fly? So I said, okay, well, I can go now. So I arrived in Ireland in 86, late 86, and Patrick was waiting for me at the airport. He drove me back to the restaurant in that beautiful red Fiesta. I said to him, things must be very difficult, because my last employer had Audi Quattro and the other one had a Bentley before. And Patrick laughed and he said, no, it's my car that I use for going to the market. I said, oh, I was very impressed. I said, you still go to the market? So that's the way I met Patrick first. And so I decided I was coming for 6 months. And look, 35 years after, I'm still here.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, I suppose I was going to ask you, before arriving here, your love affair, I mean, how did it start with the restaurant world?
Yes, so it all started when I was young. I had an uncle who had a restaurant in the center of Tours. I used to go sometime to see them, and I always loved the atmosphere of the restaurant. And one day I broke the news to my dad and I said, this is what I want to do. And my dad was a mechanic. He had his own business for years. And he said, like what? And I said, I want to be a waiter. And my dad said, not on my dead body, man. And I said, what do you mean? He said, no, you're going to be a mechanic. And I said, no.
Quite similar in ways, you know, both careers.
That's right, yes. But I love the atmosphere, and I love food in general, because I was raised in a family where my mom was cooking three-course meal every lunch and something light on dinner. Not that I was from a wealthy background, I was not at all. As I said to you, my dad was a mechanic. But she loved food, he loved food. She was, she's an amazing lady, and that's where I got it from.
And I mean, some of the places, Stefan, that you worked in there, I mean, the Club de Calavier, I mean, Saint-Tropez,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
These are the glitzy names that, you know, I mean, I know you were being earlier with the La Gavroche, of course, a three-star Michelin, the Roux Brothers, of course, everybody knows. And then Le Bon Auberge in Antibes, which I was lucky to go to on a school tour once, believe it or not. But and then you came from there. So, I mean, a really amazing track record there, and I suppose you learn so much in these incredible places.
It's all about details, put it this way. I was lucky to work for people like Joe Rostan, like Albert Roux, like I can name a lot of people, and unfortunately you always forget some. But it's the charisma and the sharing the passion. And, you know, more you test, more you want to. I remember the first time that in the garage they were just getting the caviar delivery. And Albert came up in the dining room and called Silvano, who was the director, and he said, "Okay, Silvano, I want all the guys to come up for the testing." So all the staff were called. We were 75 staff in the garage and all lined up. And Albert opened a tin of 500 grams of caviar, and he had the warm water for the spoons and turning. And everybody had a teaspoon, one after the other, in your mouth, and you had to eat it because Albert said, "Don't swallow, eat it." And then when everything was finished, he just turned, looked at the manager, Silvano, and said, "Now, Silvano, would you describe them what they have in their mouth?" And it was very amusing. The first time it did happen to me to first of all, eat caviar, mm-hmm. and secondly, to have people who were treating food but sharing, like, the cost of a 500 grams tin caviar, which was gone after 75 staff, for me was quite amazing. And the training was fantastic. That's something that I will never forget.
It's lovely there. The geographical, you know, Saint-Tropez, London, Antibes, and then Dublin, of course, also, which then I suppose 40 years ago may not have been the gourmet sort of the hub, I suppose, really, when you came here. Was it very different then? Compared to now, I suppose, Stefan?
Compared to now, would you believe what kept me here in Ireland, because I came for 6 months, but what really kept me was the motivation that I got from Patrick, who I really admire his skill of management, but also the clientele that we had. And if you look at in 81, that was not too many people who could afford to go in a place like this, but also they were very intimidating when they were coming in. But also they were so curious about the ingredients and the way of cooking. So some people say it's such a pity that place would close down in 6 months, because what a test. They give you nothing to eat, but it's so beautiful. I was very curious about this because, you know, we were always kept on our toes to know about the ingredients we were serving, and also to try to explain to people. And, you know, the Irish people are never short of a chat. So it means that actually we, even if we couldn't speak English beside my mind, the step, I learned very quickly.
Well, it was a little bit of France here in Dublin. For them, it was probably very exotic and very, it was very
exotic.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was exotic.
The French accent is very popular here in Ireland, I think.
Believe me, I remember people asking for billets and getting the bills, or vice versa. It was quite amusing.
Fantastic. I mean, is it, and you're the man, of course, behind this delivery, and you talked about detail and the food. It's for some people, it would be a scary, you know, the responsibility for that. So, like, I suppose to ask you, how do you do it and how do you keep doing it?
It's working hard, put it this way. It's a lot of training. Training, and you have to put a lot of charisma. You have to enjoy what you do. I think it's every work. When you enjoy what you do, it shows and it relaxes the atmosphere. Yes, we have sometimes clients who come and they would have so much expectation that they get lost into it. But, you know, it's up to us to feel it very quickly. It's not like a double, like a sense, but you have to feel the atmosphere very quickly and know exactly where you stand and try to help. And after all, you know, people who leave the restaurant happy are new clients. So it's up to you to make it. The team in the kitchen, Guillaume, who's been there from the beginning, Guillaume is the head chef, he's also one of the owner, he's also I don't know, we all carry so many titles, but he's a man that, you know, working for other big name, big chefs. When I met Guillaume, I was so surprised and so humbled. Now with him, we have Kieran Glennon, who's also head chef, and a guy from Longford. And people will talk about Guilbeau only French. It's not only French. It's actually now we evolve and we have all the next generation, Charles Guilbeau, who's born in England and raised in Ireland as well. So we have a lot of
Wonderful mix.
Yeah, wonderful mix.
For yourself, I mean, the secret of success in that, I wouldn't say you're a Gordon Ramsay type. How would you describe your management style? Or
no, it's all, you know, success. The success is not really always one person. You have the mentors, you are the people who actually give direction and trained. And then after, you have the team. And the team, it's all question of training. When the team arrive to a level that you want, usually a lot of people start moving and you get the new guys. So the new guys come and you train them again. So it's a perpetual training. And when you arrive to my age, they always keep me on my toes. Funny enough, 20 years old, 30 years old, they all keep me on my toes. I have to actually keep up. And it's like a teacher try to answer to the question. Sometimes you think you know everything and it's not true. You have to go back and say, oh, I come back to you tomorrow is the answer. So it's a lot of work.
That brings us very nicely along, Stefan, to your first choice of music this evening. What have you picked for us?
You Two, With or Without You.
And does this have a special significance for you?
It is, yes, because when I arrived in 86, in 87, we were all singing that song. So it means an awful lot.
A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
You're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland. My special guest this evening is Stefan Robin from the very famous restaurant Patrick Gilbo's in the Merrion Hotel here in Dublin. Stefan, a lot of people have been to experience, I suppose, Michelin stars 1, 2 and the ultimate 3. I suppose, could you give us a little bit of an idea, the 1, the 2, what's involved, you know, how you get them, and, you know, the pressure, I suppose, and keeping them, how the success to hold on to your stars.
So first of all, the Michelin star always attached to the cooking. So you have good cooking and you have also very good ingredients. So the big difference between 1, 2 and 3 would be the quality of the ingredients that you use, and then after, the skill of execution. Then what we do on the front is attached to it. It's normal. It's something which is part of package. It's part of the event. So the difference really, it's the execution and the creativity, but also, you know, you're going to say, but if I go to 3-star in France, I will get an awful lot of classical cooking. Yes, classical cooking, but there is nothing more difficult than classical cooking because they're all attached to recipes and the recipes has to be actually very, very strict. The ingredients will do the rest.
Dublin has come on, I guess, as well, in terms of, you know, over the years. And I mean, have you noticed huge changes now in the clientele? Or
if you look at TV, there is so many TV programs. And if you look at the clientele get younger and younger and younger. And not that actually Gilbo can attract all the young clientele, but we were exposed twice, I remember, for MasterChef, and it was amazing, the response straight away of young people in their 20s, early 20s, coming to the restaurant, and you're going to say to me, wow, could they afford? Yes, they do, for one-off. It's a kind of place that you do go for one-off. Not one-off, but only some time to time, not every week, not every month. It's something which is very, very special, to wake up your sense and also to look at all the details. It's quite incredible.
I mean, I know things are opening up again, thank goodness. I think a lot of people are just waiting to, you know, just like racehorses waiting to get out there. And I think they're not going to be too shy about enjoying themselves.
True, and they should. Because we've been locked down.
Yeah.
If you like, I'm just back as well from the Black Lion. I went to it in Navan last week, and it was absolutely fantastic. Mm. I had a great time from A to Z, from the welcome, from the food. His tasting menu is excellent. When we came back, we felt so alive. It's the way our, well, especially in Ox, the way they treat you, they talk to you, they actually, you get beautiful food. It's the service, it's the event, really. Yeah, and you feel actually, no matter what the cost is, when you come back, you say, oh my God, I can't wait one day to go back. You know, it's...
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are going to be feeling exactly that about Guilbeault's as well. Now, you're part, of course, of the prestigious Blue Book, which a lot of people will know from the wonderful vouchers they get at Christmas, and it's always a coveted present, you know. What does it mean to you to be part of it?
So how did we end up joining the Blue Book?
By invitation only, I should have added, sorry.
It was invitation only, but we look, you know, we look at who they were, what was the concept. And very quickly, we realized they were mostly privately owned places where people, it's a lifestyle. And it means that actually, as I said to you, it's all details, but the quality, so it pleases you or not, but you can see there is an awful lot of work done behind the owners of that places. So you feel like at home, it's relaxing, but at the same time, you know, it's your teas with all that beautiful things. So when we looked at it, we had no bedrooms. It was all about food, and we were certainly the first or one of the first to be asked. Very quickly, we were so pleased to be associated to that organization because it's all related. It's all quality. Put it this way.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and I think that is that sort of unique package, as you said, and that people, they kind of know what they're going to get when they whether it's a restaurant or one of the properties. Absolutely, during the lockdown, Stefan, I mean, did you find it very difficult? Some people became alcoholics, discovering wine. Some people became experts on the guitar. Some people learned languages for a while anyway, you know. But and I think then we all got so fatigued of everything. We're like, oh, good, you know, please let me out of here, you know. But, I mean, was it hard for yourself or how did you cope?
So, funny enough, I love cooking. So my family was thrilled because I was cooking the first month lunch and dinner, and my cellar, and I have a beautiful cellar, got a huge dent into it, and after a month I said, no, hold on, we cannot drink all that beautiful wine, so we have to change. So then I went to the local off license, and the owner got very friendly with me, and we had a lot of chat about wine, and it was fabulous. But then after 2 months, we did a stop. So that was only weekends, like everybody else. I'm glad I had that, because I never took more than 2 weeks holiday in my life. So suddenly, you know, to stop from 150 miles an hour or 200 miles an hour to actually almost stop. I'm lucky, you know, in one way, that suddenly I was, you know, with my family every day. What kept me alive also was the walk in the morning with Spotify and walk all my 2.5K. And, you know, it's just like to have that fresh air. But no, it was not easy. But you know what? I should not complain, because at the end of the day, you know, we're going to reopen and it's going to be behind us. Is the worst ever happened to us? I think so. Because every single time there is something new, it's always strange and it's always big, like recession before, like depression afterwards. And then after that virus, it was actually quite incredible. I don't think that we're going to live that again.
Stefan, I suppose from a point of view of when you were cooking lunch at home and dinner at home, is there any like little one secret you'd share with the listeners? Did the family say, Dad, I want lasagna, or, you know, I want foie gras today?
No, I would be dead. No, funny enough, it's not necessarily plain food, but I like actually beautiful ingredients. Like at the beginning, I called some suppliers of mine and I got deliveries of fresh fish and seafood. And then after, I went to a different market and to try to find my... Well, it's not open market, put it this way. I went to some fishmonger, I went to some other people, and I got the ingredients I wanted. But I would be not quite plain. I like a little sauce, but I can make a lot of... You know, I was trained from school, and it's my passion. So, but It's not heavy, really heavy. I don't.
Well, I looking at you, right, and you're looking very fit, very thin, very healthy, very youthful. So I wouldn't imagine it's too heavy. But you seem to have this knack, the French, of eating all these amazing sauces and wonderful food and never putting on any weight.
I don't have the packet of crepes in the middle. Huh? So you know, it's by education. It's you eat at a certain time, lunchtime, and you eat at a certain time, evening time, and that's it. So it means that actually you have nice meals, one dish, even one dish lunch, one dish dinner is enough. Sunday and Monday is different. That's my day off. So that's where I cook. When I cook, yeah, it's a little bit more. Plus, you have the wine on the top of it. Now you have to be strict with it, but I do have a lot of passion as well. So it means, you know, is exercise quite a lot. When I work, I don't know how many steps I do a day. It could be, 60, 70,000 steps a day. Like it's nonstop.
There's the answer.
Yeah, from 9 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the morning, it's nonstop. And I play golf as well. I don't run anymore. I pull up some few calves, so I can't run. But I walk a lot, so it's, you know, I think that's part of it.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, what have you chosen for us tonight for your second piece of music?
Tinnell's Town in the Rain. That's from Blue Nile.
A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com
on Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
You're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland, and I'm having a lovely time this evening chatting to the wonderful Stéphane Robat, the manager of Restaurant Patrick Gilbo's. Stéphane, I was just chatting to you there during the song about education and, you know, how the French kids, I suppose, start drinking wine at an early age, and they tend to be more controlled, I think, you know, and it's part of the culture, isn't it?
Yes and no. I think it's the same. I think French young people drink as much as the Irish people, perhaps less beer, but it would be more on wine and other drink, but I think they drink the same. When I was at young age, my dad used to give us a tiny bit of red wine into a glass and dilute it with water. And I'd say the first time I did, I must have been 6 or 7. Like it was actually young age. But it's to give actually a taste of it without any trouble from it. But I remember I did something totally mad when I was a kiddo. I was about 12. And with a friend of mine, we discover into a side building a cellar. And when we find the cellar, we went to that cellar, we took a bottle, and the two of us went with the bottle. So we did something silly and mad, but we paid the price for it. So we took that bottle and we broke the neck on the wall and we drank the bottle. And the two of us went back home. And my mom smelled it and saw me in that state. And I was sick. So sick that actually she put me to bed. And when my dad came back from work, she said, "Oh, your son is upstairs. Go and see him." And my dad said,
"Oh, he was your son."
"What has he done?" He said, "Go and check." And he went to see me, looked at me, and I was so sick. And he burst laughing. And he said, "Okay, well, I don't need to tell you anything else." He went, and I never touched a drop until I was 17. I couldn't smell alcohol, wine. I couldn't become totally allergic of. And it's only after that, 18, that I started to, from education and testing, and I was trained also as a sommelier. So it means I had to go through that process. So I loved, that's why if you ask me what is the best wine you ever drunk, I say, I don't know which one. I have a lot of ideas about beautiful wines I tried, but the best wine is a big, too complex. There is so many.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, it is very difficult. And that's why, when I go to a restaurant, I love just to hand all that over to you and to just get new experiences and a joy to just have a tasting menu with paired wines. And that, and it's just great because it's a learning process as well. It's like you're on a wine tour almost as well. It's terrific.
When I was a kiddo, my mom, one day for Christmas, my dad always say, "What are you going to cook for the New Year?" And my mom said, "I don't know. What would you like?" And he said, "Something gamey." So she said, "Okay, well, we have wild pigs. I can do a leg of wild pig sauce grand veneur. And don't forget to bring it to me because my dad was a hunter. So we always have a freezer full of games." So the week after, she repeated that to my dad, "Don't forget to bring it to me." And my dad said, okay. And the week after, she said, "Okay, well, you know what? If you forget, you have nothing to eat. And by the way, I need 2 bottles of red wine for the marinade." And my dad said, "Yes, absolutely." So on time, he brought the venison, the wild boar. That was wild boar. He bought the wild boar. And my mom said, "Don't forget the red wine." He said, "Yes." So, and he forgot. And on the day, we were all around the table, and my dad always used to carve. And he said to my mom, "Can you bring the leg? I'm going to carve it." And my mom bring the leg, and he smelled, and he said, "Oh my God!" He said, "The best sale ever." So he started to carve, and he said, "So it's so tender. Can you bring me the sauce grand veneur for me to try?" And she bring the sauce grand veneur, and he tried, and he said, "It's the best ever. I never try a sauce like that, better than any Michelin star ever." So he said, "What wine did you use?" And my mom said, "I don't know. Not the wine that you brought me because you forgot." And my dad said, "Oh, I forgot." She said, "Yes." So he said, "What wine did you buy?" And she said, "I had 6 kids. Do you think I have time to go and buy wines? I went to your cellar, took 2 bottles, and that's what I'm made of." And he said, "Oh, show me. Where did you take the bottles from?" And my mom said, "Well, I just went in and took 2 bottles." And he said, "Where are the empty bottles?" And she said, "Well, behind in the lobby over there." And my dad went, and when he came back, his face, and he looked at the wine, he looked all at us, and he said, "Nuit Saint-Georges Lecaille, 1969. And my mom said, "And so what? This was beautiful." My dad said, "You don't know what you took." And she got quiet. And all the kids around the table couldn't speak. And she left the room, went to the kitchen. And we all look at my dad like if he was carrying COVID. And my dad said, "So what?" And we said, "You ruined the New Year. I cannot tell you what the New Year is going to be like for you." And my mom came back, and she had a big book of Escoffier. And she banged it on the table, and she said to my dad, "Page 356. Read to the children." And my dad realized he went too far. And he said to my mom, he said, "Okay, sorry. I think you made your point. I'm sorry." And she said, "No, not enough. Can you read?" And my dad looked at her and said, "No, you made your point." He said, no. "Read the book." And he looked at her and said, "No, you made your point." So she took it and she read. And when she started to read, she said, "Escoffier said the best sauce grand veneur is made with a Bon Romanée 1953. And she said, "You are so lucky I didn't find it."
Oh, brilliant. So there is a top tip for any budding chefs out there now, or anyone at home. It's all about the seriously good wine. Don't drink it, make it into the sauce. That's fantastic. Great story. Wow. So anyway, that was an amazing meal anyway.
Fantastic. Oh, it was magnificent. We were very lucky.
And this is the signature sauce inside, I suppose. That's brilliant. Stefan, I suppose a lot of people would love as well, people are always looking for nice tips and things. I mean, if I was to put you on the spot and say, if I was to go into Guibos and, something that you'd say to me would be, try this, what would be your sort of dish that you'd say, that would be, the quintessential experience?
In Ireland?
Yes, or in Guibos. I know
Guibos,
it's difficult.
Guibos, some of the recipe, we published a book in 2011, it was launched, and it was written by my wife, who's a good cook, but not as Gilbo's cooking. So she went to the kitchen and for weeks, and she was talking to the chef to try to get all the right recipes. In that book, there is about, I don't know, 40 recipes and pictures, and you can actually try the recipes. Some of them are very difficult to make, but, you know, it's all about ingredients. If you go to the fishmonger, if you get an example, scallops, sear them on one side. Don't actually overcook them because you lose all the water and you lose all the flavors. And for a lot of cooking, cooking is not that... Okay, Gilbo's cooking is difficult, but, you know, cooking is not too difficult. Just put a bit of time, read a little bit before you execute, and you'll be actually quite charmed by it. If you come to Gilbo, have the lobster ravioli, because that dish is very difficult to make, but it's so beautiful.
I've heard about it. People, I know it's a favorite with lots of people.
Yeah.
Have you got some very exciting sort of things you're going to be, you know, that people are going to be able to experience now? I suppose you've had so much time to plan. I guess that's going to be a nice positive side of COVID.
Yeah. Well, by this year is going to be very, very special. We will start. September, we start now actually. We are celebrating 40 years this year, so it's a big number. And I know Guillaume and Kieran are working on the very special tasting menu at the moment. So when is it going to launch? I suppose from the beginning or a little bit afterwards. But there is a lot of the new menu. Now, some people say, oh, Gilbo is open 40 years. The food must be still the same. And, you know, you always work about around the top ingredients. So there is always foie gras, there is always scallops, there is always crab. There is also offal. There is also a lot of different type of dishes, and that we cook different ways all the time. So do we change? Every year we change the recipe, except for two dishes, which are still on the menu from the beginning, and that was the lobster ravioli and the canard de chalon. Beside that, everything else has changed. But we changed the recipes. The ingredients, no, because this is the ingredients that people expect.
Yeah, I'm actually, my mouth is watering here listening to you. I just can't wait to try some of that. Has it been very difficult for you? I mean, because a lot of chefs and people in the food industry would, of course, get great inspiration from travelling. Yeah. I guess that has been quite difficult in a way, isn't it?
The way our people find the inspiration, first of all, they would be traveling, I agree with you. And then after, you know, because we all computerize and the net will bring an awful lot. And as I said to you, TV programs, so you look at the different influence. Sometimes it starts in Italy, sometimes it starts in France, sometimes. And not being traveling for the chef, frustrating, yes. But at the same time, you know, is... the creation sometimes come by accident in the kitchen. I'm not saying something drop in something, but, you know, it's just like ideas, and they read a lot. I know an example that Kieran gets almost all the cookie book that he can put his hand on. So sent to him, and he just like read all the time. It's like everything, you know, it's you develop with yourself.
I was talking to there earlier as well about I asked you and I said I was displaying my ignorance about French, the pairing of course of cheese and wine. And I remember being told years ago by somebody that it was because the cheese absorbed the alcohol of the liver, stopped you getting too drunk. Now I wanted to ask you what's your take on that?
It's a beautiful fairy tale.
I knew it.
No, what you see, the funniest thing is you always try to pair. And always to pair, the basic is usually when you look at the wine which is produced in the area where the cheese is made of. So if you look at in France, and if you look at an example in Époisses, so Époisses is a kind of very strong cow cheese, and you think that actually it's been sponged with a Mar de Bourgogne. And usually, funny enough, when you drink a white wine from Burgundy, the pairing is quite incredible. And one day, I remember one of the sommelier that I had, he came back from the weekend, and we started to talk about weekends, and he said to me with a lot of emotion, I know what is the perfect marriage. And I said, what is the perfect marriage? And he said, it's an Époisses with a Meursault from Les Tessons from Rouleau, And I looked at him and said, what? He said, yeah, it was so emotional.
See, it's a Pinot Grigio and a bit of Gobine for me, Stefan. You know,
yeah, well, you know, we all have our kicks, huh?
Oh, dude, that's brilliant. Yeah, even the way that when you hear it, of course, in your accent, it's so much nicer. Do you, I mean, in terms of just, we're going to finish up shortly with your last piece of music now, but just in terms of your own, I know, guilty pleasure, I know you're surrounded by the most amazing food all the time, and you're it's a wonderful job, I think, that you have. What is your little guilty pleasure yourself if you're at home sneaking into the fridge at night or you want to do something naughty?
As I said to you, not after work. Otherwise, I'll be big. No, but... yeah, unfortunately, I do love cheese. I do love, even some of the salami if it's a little bite, if you like. It's so yeah, that's my little.
Well, it's I knew it wasn't going to be anything like a tuna sandwich or anything like that. That's wonderful, Stefan. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and it's lovely to have you in today. And I think you know, everybody is going to be so excited to get back out there and to get into some fine restaurants and to start living life a bit again. And I wish you all the best now for the summer season. And I hope that, you know, we'll all be blown away, no doubt, again by some of the wonderful food in, of course, Guilbeau's, a legendary two-star Michelin restaurant. Stefan, thank you so much. Can I ask you just to tell us your last choice of music this evening?
Fire and Rain from James Taylor. Thank you very much.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning.